I think the burden of the Lord in these days when brothers coming together fellowshipping is not to interpret concerning this seven epistles. Because we have known, every one of us, I think we have read these verses many times and heard it many times. But what the Spirit wants us to do and wants us to know today is how to apply it in our situation today. That's why I appreciate the fellowship this morning. Because we are not just talking about history. Right? During the time of Constantine and all that, where the church and the world got married, right? Well, this has been taught many years ago. But we are living truly in such a world today. Yeah. And I like the word compromise. Because we made a lot of compromise. And we think, okay, this is not that bad. Let's do it. But remember the warning of the scriptures of the Lord. A little leaven is okay. Just a little bit. What's wrong with that? There's a little bit right now, but when you wake up in the morning, half of your whole being is leavened. And it grows in you, and it grows very fast. I'm not a baker, right? Elizabeth is a baker. How fast does a leaven grow? Really fast. So did you put a lot of leaven? How much? Just a teaspoon. Very little. The next thing you know, the whole dough is full of leaven. And the Lord already warned us in Matthew chapter 13 about that woman. You know, dangerous woman. Don't think the brothers are dangerous. The women are more dangerous. Yeah. Right. That woman took leaven, and just a little bit, and added it in three measures of fine flour. Representing the pure word of God, full of life, so nourishing for all of us, healthy, it makes you healthy. But now this woman came and hid it. That means she did it in a very subtle way, so that nobody knew, when you're not watching, put a little bit of leaven, and that's it. And she didn't need to do anything. The leaven will do its work. And so pretty soon, that little bit will grow in you. And I appreciate the verse that a brother brought out, or a sister brought out this morning, what Paul said in Galatians chapter 6. I have been crucified to the world. Are you really? Are you dead to the world? And is the world dead to you? What can the world do to a dead man? And does a dead man love the world? After he died, and when he died, he took the whole world with him to Hades. No, you cannot take anything. So the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is very practical. So practical, you can apply to the world. Right? And so in Galatians chapter 2, Paul says, I have been crucified. with Christ. So what died? What happened if you're crucified with Christ? You're dead to the self. That's the only solution to the world. If you're still very active in your flesh, you're not dead yet. Oh, the world will get you. The world will get you. So this word of Paul in Galatians is very practical. It's not a doctrine, okay, I've been crucified with Christ. He said, not I, but Christ. So he even said, they that are of Christ have, what? Crucified the flesh and all the passions and desires. That's the only solution. That's the only solution. I don't know of any other solution. Right. Yeah. And then he says, leave me alone. I've been crucified to the world and the world to me. We have nothing to do with each other. Nothing in common. So this is Pergamos. But one thing I like to bring up very quickly and simply. To the church in Ephesus, our great heavenly high priest warned the church in Ephesus. What happens if you don't repent? I will remove the lampstand. Is it just to Ephesus? Well, he didn't say it to Pergamos. Did he have to say it again? No. Because he already said it to the church in Ephesus. And the church in Ephesus just left the best love, and that's all. Pergamos is even worse than that. Oh, how come the Lord didn't mention, if you don't repent, I'm also going to remove your lampstand. Does he have to say that? Huh? It's understood. Why do I say this? Because people say, well, they are terrible, but the Lord still calls them the lampstand. Who said that? But I've heard that. Sardis is already dead. Is it still a lampstand? If the Lord warned the church in Ephesus, you just left the first love, I'm going to remove the lampstand. The rest of the churches, some, and not all of them, the rest are even much worse. Well, I have heard people who say, well, once you're the church, one city, one church, you're forever the church. Where is it written? Revelation chapter 31, verse 1. You're adding to the word of God. Add to all the plagues. No, but I really heard that. And I told that certain brother, but it's written, I will remove the lampstand. But they didn't believe it. We are the church. Really? Why not ask the Lord, what does this wonderful great high priest walking in the midst of the lampstand will say? People don't believe that the lampstand is removable. What do you do if those lambs are already broken? No, come on. Just display it there. No, you remove it crash it. Right. So we all need to take heed. Right. And today we're going to share a little bit about Thyatira. But one thing we also need to see, it all started with Ephesus. Once you left the first love, the best love, gradually you will be going down and down and down. Yeah. The Lord in His wisdom put all these seven churches in such a way that it's one step after another going down. Right. If you want to go down, you have to take a step. It's not a, what do you call that? A slide. The children love to just go up and it goes down so fast. But no, Satan is not that stupid. If you go down that fast, you will realize, something is not right. Right? But if you just go down slowly, you will notice it. You will not notice it. But this is the reality there. Once you see that your heart and your relationship with the Lord is not right anymore, that is a sign that you're not going upward, you're going backwards and downwards. So pay attention. It doesn't happen right away. Right. It doesn't happen right away and overnight that you don't love the Lord and you just, you know, move away from the Lord. But the enemy will work slowly and slowly and slowly. I've seen that. Some people moved away very fast. And some takes about 20 years. And they're gone. And some 45, 50 years and they're gone. And they still think they're okay. Right. So this tells us we have to be careful, to be watchful. Even the Lord warned His disciples, watch and pray. Be watchful. Peter also says, and the apostles all say, the enemy is going around looking, right, to devour you, to devour you. So what comes after Pergamos? Thyatira. No brothers like to share Thyatira. Nobody likes to share Thyatira. Yeah, neither do I. Thyatira, you can say, is the consummation of all the previous falling condition of the churches. Yeah. You cannot stay just like Pergamos at the end. You will end up like Thyatira. It's not Balaam. It's not Nicolaitans anymore, but it's a terrible woman. A woman again. A woman who considered herself to be a prophetess, to teach. What did Paul say? It's okay, everybody can speak. He forbid a woman not to speak, but to teach. To teach. If you teach, then you must be a professor. You must be someone with authority. It's not just teaching the Bible. And today, look at Christianity. You have so many women pastors. Do you think Paul is racist? Or he's against sisters? Huh? No. It has nothing to do with that. Sisters are very precious before the Lord. What would the churches do without sisters? When the Lord was on this earth, don't just look at the 12 apostles at that time. Hey, there are so many faithful sisters supporting them. And all the brothers ran away at the cross of the Lord, and the sisters were there. Not teaching, but they really love the Lord. Very precious. No, the churches need the sisters, but not to teach, because teaching involves authority. God has his order. God is not a God of confusion, but a God of order. Amen. That's why Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, the man is the head of the woman. If you turn it around, you will repeat the problem in the Garden of Eden. You remember the Garden of Eden? Who was the head? Supposedly, doctrinally, it should be Adam. But unfortunately, it was turned around. Yeah, it was turned around. I don't need to go into it. But one thing you have to really see is that there is a divine order. Man was the head of a woman. But then don't think that we brothers are the head. No, because Christ is the head of every man. And if you ask Christ when he was on this earth, who is the head? You are the head. He would say, no. The Father, God is the head of Christ. This is the divine order. And the enemy is trying to get rid of this order. Because when there's no more order, there's a disorder. And then it's going to be confusion. And then finally, destruction. It'll destroy the church. And even if the elders think they can replace the authority of Christ, that is also a confusion. Who can replace Christ as the head? I heard people say, I am responsible for the church here. Oh, goodness, where is it written? And then where is Christ then? Even at the very end, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when the Lord Jesus receives the kingdom, he said, it's mine. Did he say that? What did he say? He gave the kingdom to the Father. Isn't that beautiful? But Satan, he wants to be God. Definitely disrespect and even rebelled against the headship of God, the rebellion of Satan. And once this happened, I don't care what it is, whether it's Nicolaitans or Balaam, at the end it is Jezebel, that's the ultimate. It will destroy the church of God, the lampstand. There won't be any more lampstand. Something terrible will replace the lampstand. You can go to Rome to see it. Terrible. I don't even like to mention that name. But it's just a horrible sin. The Lord even says, the mysteries of Satan is there. There's a lot of satanic thing. I think we have shown you one time the audience hall of the so-called that you know who. They purposely built it in the shape of a serpent head. Outwardly and inwardly. They're not even ashamed to do it, not hiding it outwardly. But when people look at it outwardly, I showed it one time to the saints in Feingen, and they were all shocked, especially those who were previously Catholics. What? That is audience fall of that person. And inside, it also looked like you're in the mouth of that serpent. And everybody's sitting there, listening. So who is really speaking there? It's the serpent. But what about us? Who is speaking here? You and me? And you think I like to speak? No. No. We want the Lord to speak. We are just the mouthpiece, that's all. Right. The Lord is just using John, the apostle, in the island of Patmos to speak to us. But actually it was the direct speaking of the living triune God. How precious. How precious it is. Don't you like to hear his speaking? And was his speaking only sweet words? That's why nobody wants to talk about Thyatira. Jezebel. Right. She is the main character there. Jezebel, you have to read 1st and 2nd Kings. Who she is. God never anointed a queen, okay? He always anointed just the king. And you know, King Ahab, my goodness. But before him, the nation was already fallen, worshiping idols at that time. So when it came to Ahab, he married a terrible queen called Jezebel. Septuagint says Isabel, which is perhaps better. Right. Josephus says Jezebella. And the root word is what? Zebel in Hebrews. You know what it means? Dung. D-U-N-G. So please don't go there to that woman. You'll be going to a dunghill. People don't realize that. That is why the end of Jezebel is just like dung. If you go to 2 Kings, right, perhaps it's chapter 9, when she was thrown down out of the window. And at the end, the dogs just eat her up. You know, would you like to eat dung? But only dogs do. Right? You have a dog, right? And nobody recognized her, and she really, at the end, looks like dung. You cannot even recognize who she is. It's just dung. Poop, in our language today. So forget about Jezebel. Forget about that. Oh, she brought so much problem. Let us just go to Thyatira here. I think it's just good enough to read it. Nevertheless, I have a few things, or I have somewhat against you, something against you, that you allow that woman. That woman. Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach, but it's not just to teach. Her teaching is to seduce saints. Today we need the anointing to tell us, to teach us what is right and what is wrong, and the priesthood especially should be a holy priesthood. In the book of Ezekiel, a priest should teach the people what is holy and what is unholy, what is common. Even not just what is unholy, but what is common. Common may be very nice and okay, but it's not holy. It's not holy. Holy is the nature of God. Holiness is God's nature. You can be good, but unholy still. Outwardly, perhaps good, looks good, but inwardly unholy. That's why Peter, talking about a priesthood, he gave the command, be holy, because I am holy. God is holy. It is what God says. Be holy. It's not a request. Please be holy. But be holy. This is what God says, because I am holy. You want to be like God? Firstly, learn to be holy. Not just outwardly, but inwardly. But if you're inwardly holy, that will also be expressed through your walk, your daily walk, even how you dress yourself. Right. What did Paul says? Abstain from all appearance of evil. Don't think your appearance doesn't mean much. Yeah. You look at appearance, that should tell you something already. But of course, we are not God who can search into the heart. But whatever the heart is, it always comes up. Right? The Lord says, whatever your heart is filled with, it will be hidden there. Sooner or later, it's going to come out. Right. So whatever our inward condition is, it will always show. You cannot hide it too long. It will always show. You'll be exposed outwardly. Yeah. So we do need to be cleansed inwardly, but not to neglect the outward. This is what the Lord said. He rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees, you hypocrite. You only care for the outward, and you don't care for the inward. So clean first the inward, but do not neglect the outward. Right. Because we have to express Christ outwardly, but it has to come from the inward. Otherwise, we are hypocrite. Do you want to be one? Hypo. No, hypocrite. Then you better go to Hollywood. You might get a good job there. So inward and outward is important. Right. But this woman, goodness, she is actually a whore, a prostitute, just like in Revelation chapter 17. But she appeared to be a prophetess. Is a prophet good or bad? So she's a lady prophet. There are many of them today. But the fact that she's a lady, well, you should be careful. I'm talking about spiritual things. Right. So she proclaimed herself to be a prophet. Where am I now? Yeah. Right. Calling herself a prophetess. Yep. Don't allow that woman, Jezebel, okay? If we are in Zion and we are practicing the priesthood, right, there is no great heavenly high priestess. Okay? Yeah. To seduce my servants, that means many of them fell into that trap. To commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idol. That was firstly practiced by Balaam. They paid Balaam to prophesy against God's people. Would you do that? They tried to pay him. Did he accept it? At first, no. But then the second time. And then again. And he knew I shouldn't do that. So he didn't do that. Even when he prophesied, only good things come out of his mouth, right? So he gave Balak a terrible advice. What advice? Immorality. He introduced immorality. It's not just spiritual immorality today, but hey, in this world today is full of immorality, human trafficking, pedophilia. You know, Epstein. And those in high position, they're all into it. They're all into it. So first of all, we must also abstain from fornication and immorality. It's not a simple thing. That's why the Lord warned that we should not commit fornication and adultery, because any one of those, Paul specifically said, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You like to inherit the kingdom of God? Don't do what the world is doing today. But then there's also a spiritual immorality. You adulterated God's word. Add to it. Right? Instead of praying to the Lord Jesus, you pray to Mary. Or you pray to St. Peter or St. Thomas and to St. Claus. I don't know why they call him St. Claus. Right? In Spanish, you should say Santa Claus. Not Santa. Santa is for feminine. Santo. Santo Tomas, right? But this one is a Santa Claus. Of course, you can give a lot of explanation. I'm just using this. So is he a male or a female? Huh? Anyway, There's so much spiritual fornication and adultery today, worshiping idols. That's why God called his people a whore. You read Hosea, for example, the prophets. Because they begin to worship idols. Right. We belong to God. We say we are his bride. So how many husbands? This is why committing fornication and adultery in the Bible is serious, something very serious. We in Zion, we as the holy and royal priesthood, we should be very careful. And this is why in the book of Ezekiel, the priests cannot just marry anyone. You read it. Read the instructions. The priest cannot have long hair, nor shaven. Like a monk key. But must have proper trim of the hair. Right. If you have long hair, that signifies you agree with a lot of things. Whatever people say, you agree. But if you're shaven, and I don't mean people who are bald, okay? That's natural, they're not shaven. But people who shave like the monk, right? Have you ever seen a monk? Yeah. That is a rebellion. You have no covering. So, but we are neither accepting everything without discernment, nor are we rebellious. No. Whatever is true, whatever is good, whatever is divine, holy, the Word of God, we readily accept. But we don't accept everything. But it seems to me Christians accept everything. Right. So don't think as a priest you can do anything you like. Well, what about a priestly garment? Huh? Yeah, we just talk about a priestly garment. Is it simple, easy? What kind of garment did the Lord wear in Revelation chapter 1? White. White garment. And with what kind of a leather band? Golden band. That means he is a priest, a great high priest. You cannot enter into the holy place, even worse, into the holy of holies without wearing a holy garment. This is why in the book of Ezekiel, beginning in chapter 40, you see the priests must wear their, it's called holy garment. Yeah. And the priest cannot just marry anyone. You read. There's a lot of requirements, but if you don't read, you don't know. And Paul said the same thing, do not be equally yoked with an unbeliever. Equally yoked, I'm sorry. Yeah. Unequally yoked. Right? You cannot plow with a cow, a carabao, and a donkey, or a monkey, or a turkey. You put them yoked together, whatever key it is. Impossible. They don't match. But many Christians, they don't care. They don't care. But if you are a priest, it is not allowed. is written. I'm sorry, I cannot change that. You may not like to hear it, but it doesn't matter. Right. And the priest has to teach the people what is holy. Don't be afraid, but do it in love when you have to do some correction. What is holy, what is common? What is right, what is wrong? What is heavenly, what is earthly? We all need to learn this. Right? This is why the lampstand is so wonderful. It is pure gold. God is not a God of mixture. When he created, in Genesis chapter 1, he was very clear, each according to its kind. But now the devil is trying to change that. So a boy can become a girl, and a girl can become a boy. And pretty soon, I don't know what's going to happen. You're neither this nor that. Confusion. Confusion. Terrible, evil. Right? So, we all need to wake up, right? We all need to wake up. Right. Yeah. Teaching and seducing my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. By the way, the name, probably, if you look at the dictionary, right, from Thayer's, for example, Jezebel is chaste. You know, chaste, right? You like that name? It sounds good. But it, C-H-A-S-T-E. But she is anything but chaste. Yeah. But another Hebrew says it means not chaste. So is she chaste or is she not chaste? But everybody thought, oh, Roman Catholicism is so holy. Holy, not H-O-L-Y. H-O-L-E-Y. H-O-L-E-Y. Then the Lord says, and I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality. So again, that is mentioned again and again. So please don't take today's culture as it is. Oh, everybody's doing it. It's common. Everybody's, yeah, right. No, the Lord warns us. And I have to warn you too, and all of us, and myself, young and old, doesn't matter. Yeah. Many years ago, when I was in Germany, there was a group in the southern part of Germany, in the border, Germany and Switzerland. This Christian group, led by a lady, a woman. She had a dream. She was the prophetess in that group. My husband is not my husband. Oh, he is my husband. And he is not your husband. He is your husband. And he is not your husband, but he or she, I don't know, is your husband. And then they divorce each other and remarry each other in the group. And they're Christians. Worse than any society I've ever known in the world. You never dreamt. I don't think you've ever seen such a group, right? Oh, yeah. And I even knew somebody received a revelation from God. My wife is not my wife, but that sister is going to be my wife. So he is waiting for his wife to pass away. And poor wife, what would you think? Nene, if your husband thinks you're not his wife, but somebody else is supposed to be his wife, what would you do? You wouldn't know what to do. It's impossible, right? I've seen a lot of cases, terrible cases. And they're Christians. And even in the so-called church. Yeah. Indeed, because they will not repent, I will cast her into a sick bed. That means they're sick, spiritually sick. Sick isn't that a very good word? Are you spiritually sound, healthy, or are you sick? You want to be sick? We all have to be spiritually healthy. I don't want to be spiritually sick. I don't know why I'm telling you all this. But this is what it is. I'm not trying to water it down, okay? I'm not trying to water it down. And those who commit adultery, so many times he mentions this word adultery, immorality, right? Sexual immorality. And those who commit adultery with her, I will send her into a great tribulation. Into great tribulation unless they repent of their deeds. Even amazing, I will kill her children with death. Really, the children of Jezebel and Ahab, they were all put to death, killed. And what followed? The church in Thyatira? Oh, a living church. What do you do with somebody who is dead? Oh, no, just like Lazarus, make him alive again. That's what I heard from somebody who gave a message that says it's okay to be dead. Because the Lord has seven spirits, he'll make you alive again. Well, I've never seen that happen today. So people like to interpret the Bible according to their own like and dislike. So it's okay. You can be dead once in a while. Because the Lord says, I was dead and I'm alive forevermore. So don't worry if you're dead, okay? Mo? Once you're dead.
And they're still called the church.
And they're still called the church. But you should call them a dead church. That's what the Lord says. I will cast into her into a sick bed, and I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he who raises the dead.
No.
Huh? Oh, it depends on who is reading it, right? that I'm he who searches the minds and the heart, the inward part, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. This is serious. It is very serious. And that's why nobody likes to talk about this church in Thyatira. I'm the bad man today. Right. Now I say to you and the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, or this particular seductive doctrine, the teaching of Jezebel, who have not known the depth or the mystery, the depth of Satan. Why, the depth. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, talks about the depth of God, the mysteries. But there, in Thyatira, you have the depth of Satan. There are many secrets there, hidden. And they didn't want you to know. They didn't want you to know. As they say, right, the depth of Satan. Then the Lord told those few, definitely not many, the Lord says, as many, maybe just those who do not have this doctrine. I don't know of too many who are there not having this doctrine. I will put on you no other burden. Just hold fast what you have. The truth. As long as it is the truth in the Word of God, hold fast to it. Don't let go. Don't be deceived. Don't be led astray. And he who overcomes and keeps my work until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Praise the Lord. It's amazing. Right. What did the Lord give to the church in Thyatira, this promise? Will you give the Thyatira church this wonderful promise? Or you're not God, so. Right. I cannot give you an answer. But perhaps it is really very difficult to get out of that terrible trap. Yeah. But praise the Lord, here's a promise, not just to the church in Thyatira, but actually to all the churches. Because the Lord says, he who has an ear to hear what the Lord is saying to all the churches. So all these promises to overcomers are for all those who overcome in all the churches. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Just like in Psalm 2 it says clearly, right? And they shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. Amen. Praise the Lord. The morning star. That means the rapture. Just before the sun rises, you can see the morning star. If you see the sun rise, there's no more morning star. That means it's too late. Because you're still in your bed. But if you see the morning star, praise the Lord, you're awake. No one who is still sleeping can see the morning star. So are you spiritually awake or are you spiritually asleep? Sorry, time is up. Well, I hope all of us will gain the morning star. Okay. But you can see how fallen the churches have become. And today's in Christianity, don't think they look good. The mega churches and so many different churches, they are being exposed today of what they are. Yeah. So grace be with all of us. I'm sorry to I didn't mean to speak so long today. You all have to forgive me.